ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 72, chapter entitled The Slaying of the Demon Jarasandha, text 36. Tatash chata chata shabdo vajranishpesha sanniba gadayo kshiptayo rajan dantayoriva dantino tatashchatachata shabdo vajranishpesha sanniba gadayo kshiptayo rajan dantayoriva dantino tatashchatachata shabdo vajranishpesha sanniba tadayo kshiptayo rajan dantayo rivadantino tatashchata chata shabdo vajranishpesha sanniba tadayo kshiptayo rajan Tayorivadantino
Tadashkatachatashabdo Vajranishpesha sanniba Tadayoshittayo rajan Tantayorivadantino Tadashkatachatashabdo
Vajranishpesha sanniba. Tadayo kshiptayo rajan. Dantayo riva dantino. Ladies. Tadaschata chata shabdo. Vajranishpesha sanniba. Gadayo shiptayo rajan dantayo riva dantino tataha then chata chata shabdaha the clattering sound vajra of light nishpesha the crash sannibaha assembling gadayo of their clubs kshiptayo being swung rajan o king parikshit dantayo of the tusks iva as if dantino of elephants translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Jarasandha's and Bhimasena's clubs loudly collided, O King, the sound was like the impact of the big tusks of two fighting elephants or the crash of a thunderbolt in a flashing electrical storm. It's no purport here. So I'll read the remaining three verses, just the translation. They swung their clubs at each other with such speed and force that as the clubs struck their shoulders, hips, feet, hands, thighs, and collarbones, the weapons were crushed and broken like branches of arka trees with which two enraged elephants furiously attack each other. Their clubs thus ruined, those great heroes among men angrily pummeled each other with their iron-hard fists. As they slapped each other, the sound resembled the crash of elephants colliding or harsh thunderclaps. As they thus fought, this contest between opponents of equal training, strength, and stamina reached no conclusion. And so they kept on fighting, O King, without any let up.
Om Ajnanatmirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrachatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. I'm so happy to be here. I'm seeing all the faces in the crowd. And, I just want to talk to so many people individually. At the same time, I was mentioning to Baldev Prabhu when he asked me to give class that my relationship with this Vyasasana is on the other side. I prefer to actually sit there and hear. It's embarrassing to be sitting here talking to all of you who live your lives in such an exemplary way. I'm just grateful to be here with all of you, and I sincerely hope and pray that I can share something that's meaningful and possibly inspiring for you today and for the rest of your lives. So, as I was reading this section, by the way, I'm pretty excited to see Amar Chitrakatha manifest. I loved the artwork. So as I was reading these verses, what came to my mind was just the context in which this entire fight is happening. So just before the fight between Bhima and Jarasandha began, Jarasandha gets a chance to choose his opponents. Right. So what does he say? I like to keep the classes interactive because then everybody's a little awake and up, and there is a dialogue. It's more like a samvad than a one-way class. So how does he choose? He first goes about. What does he tell Krishna? is a coward, right? And then he says, then he looks at Arjuna, and what does he say? Arjuna is? What's that? Arjuna is weak. He's not. So you know, Jarasandha could have gone about the process of choosing very straightforward. He could have just said, you know, okay, I'll choose Bhima. And what he did was he used this as an opportunity first to, you know, and this is the nature of the false ego, right? To actually, what's that? Yeah, but also to actually, like, you know, poke a little bit, right? And he tells Krishna, you know, you're a coward. You ran away from the battlefield, right? There is no point fighting with you, right? And it's very interesting to observe Krishna's reaction. Krishna doesn't necessarily react to it in any way or form. Right? Krishna is not upset, angry. Because when we are told something, especially when we have the capacity, and when somebody tells us something that is actually not true, what's our natural reaction? Right? We want to prove how the other person is wrong. Right? Instantaneously want to prove how the other person is wrong. And the interesting thing is Krishna has the capacity to prove that Jarasandha is wrong. Like almost, it can be instant punishment. Right? Krishna doesn't react. Right? He's not impulsive. He doesn't want to prove. He doesn't try to defend. He just lets Jarasandha make his choice. Right? And you know, we can see how Krishna is just completely unaffected by the insult that's put on him, because at the end of it, he realizes, and this is Krishna's position. He's so, you know, God's position is, he's so completely secure in who he is. Right? The living entity just becomes, we become so insecure in our attempt to play God. When somebody says that we don't have this capacity, or we become immediately insecure. So our life becomes this whole big project of proving that I am something. Right? But Krishna doesn't have to. Right. So he takes his time. He's just patient. He lets Jarasandha make his choice. Right. And similarly, Arjuna also, you see, when Arjuna is not, so when you are not chosen for a project, when you have the capacity and the desire, but you're not chosen for a project, what's our reaction? We feel like, God, you know, I'm not given the opportunity. Right. And when somebody else is chosen, then we naturally tend to become what? It becomes envious of the other person. We're almost waiting subtly, like, when will this person fail so that I'll get the chance to prove my strength and my might. But Arjuna, again, you know, just team player. He's a cheerleader there. He's just waiting, you know, watching Bhima fight. And interestingly, Krishna also takes his time. So how long was this battle fought for? Do you know? 28 days, right? So when Bhima steps into this arena, Bhima is always used to short-term projects. Right? He can make a mincemeat out of anything so quickly. Right? So even many times when we are given challenges, we don't. Something is challenging because we think we will overcome the challenge at a certain point in time. As we go into a project or something, it appears challenging because yes, there is a good fight, but internally, somehow we believe that based on our ability, our capacity, we will actually be able to successfully achieve the goal. It's only sometimes when we enter into the project and we realize, oh my God, this is taking longer than I thought. This was not as easy as I thought it would be. Right? Do we realize, oh my gosh, this is much more difficult. So similarly, Bhima stepped into the arena. It took 28 days of non-stop fighting. Right? And through the course of those 28 days, Krishna doesn't interfere in the entire process. Krishna is just patient. Krishna could have told, you know, based on the way he was insulted, right, we all want to be very efficient. And we want to finish and go back as quickly as possible. So Krishna could have told Bhima, you know what, this is the best way to kill him. Right? Krishna doesn't. He just waits for 28 days before the battle ends. So why does Krishna choose to wait? Right? Why is Krishna so, sometimes, you know, it appears that the process is inefficient. He's just choosing to be patient. Why do you think that's the case? He wanted Bhima to surrender. Okay, very good. What else? Any other thoughts? He wanted Bhima to surrender. It's very true. And he wanted Bhima at the end of it to actually surrender. And so as I was reading this whole thing, I was just thinking, sometimes in our conception of efficiency, we lose patience. But Krishna's project is much bigger than what we can see. So our vision for something is so narrow, right? Usually it is about, for us, even as we are given, even within devotional life, when we are given a project, right? It's about, for us, most of the time, and I can speak from my own experience, for us, it's about proving that I can do this, right? To ourselves and to other people. But Krishna's project is much bigger than just our myopic view. Right? So many times Krishna chooses to wait, and he puts us in a project. We are chosen and we step into it. And in spite of our ability, in spite of our training, in spite of all the capacities that we have, the result just doesn't come. Right? Because Krishna's plan for our life is broader than just the completion of the project. In my own life, I've experienced this. You endeavor and wonder. So, when we have so much trust and faith in our own ability, right? Many times we get chosen for a project because we have capacity. Right? But the project, Krishna wants to make the project successful only after we have learnt a very important lesson that we need to learn. Right? And usually it's around our proprietorship on our ability. Right? So we think because of our ability, this has become success. But Krishna's project is bigger. For him, it's not just the completion of the project, but also our purification in the process. And the amazing part about Krishna's, the way Krishna works is, he is actually the most efficient. Even we cannot plan our lives the way Krishna plans our lives. Because there is a much bigger task at hand. I like to quote this saying, that in God's economy, even suffering is not wasted. Right? So when we go through suffering, we think, why? Right? But Krishna is actually making use of our suffering also for a purpose that at that time we cannot see. Right? So many times when we are working, when we are embarking on projects, it's just hard for us to see why this is not going the way. We lose our patience. Sometimes we become impatient. We try to do things, right? And in the process of avoiding necessary suffering, we create a lot of unnecessary suffering for ourselves and for other people around us. Right? But Krishna is so patient. He waits. He waits until we are completely ready. I remember my own life. So we started this outreach effort in New York called Gita Sutras back in 2009. And so I had just graduated from business school. I had all this marketing ideas. And so I put all of that in. And we did this big scale marketing in New York. Went to every yoga studio that we could potentially do. You know, marketed this whole thing. And finally, 32 people showed up for the program, for the first course. We were all very excited. So, you know, we have a feedback form usually. We ask people how they heard about us. Not one person came from any of the efforts that we had put in. But somehow people came. And so the way Krishna works is, you know, through, when he makes you put an endeavor into something, he also makes sure that at the end of it, you know, you're actually humbled in the process, where your endeavor, your effort, your capacity has no direct consequence of the result. Of course, it takes for us to be honest about it. But when we very honestly see, there is no direct correlation. Our effort may be in one direction, and the result comes from somewhere else. Right? So, in the process, you're also humbled. You realize, oh my gosh, my effort has nothing to do with the result. And I had to work so hard. But in spite of me working hard, putting effort in a particular direction, nothing came from that. But it came from somewhere else. Right. So another example in my own mind, we were doing construction at the Bhakti Center, and Maharaj had some ideas for doing certain things, and we needed more budget. And so I was cultivating all these big people, and you know, I hoped that at a certain time they would give, you know, money. And you know, nothing came. So one day I was standing in front of Radha Murli there, and I was just like, I don't know how this is going to happen. I've run out of ideas, basically. I've completely run out of ideas. At that very moment, one person walked into the temple room. And usually he was used to sit at the back, hearing Bhagavatam class. He walked into the temple room, and it was also during daytime. Usually daytime, it's very quiet. Nobody's there. He came in the daytime, came inside, and he came up to me, gave me a check of $15,000, and walked away. I was just shocked. And after that, I started cultivating him. Usually that's what happens. Fruit of mentality. So again, right, effort is in one direction, but the result comes from somewhere else. Right? So Krishna tends to work that way. He doesn't give things immediately. It takes time and effort and energy for us to put, and through that whole effort and energy, at a certain point, we just become disillusioned. Why is this is not working? We become impatient, disgruntled, and you know, make other people's lives also difficult in the course of all of that. And finally, when we come to the point of accepting, okay, there's something bigger here that I'm not seeing. Right. Many times you also want to quit. We also quit. This is not going to work. Right. And then each of those efforts, or each of those mechanisms that we have to deal with our own impatience, you know, somehow or the other makes us fall short of what Krishna really wants to do through us. Right. I remember Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, just before he was about to pass away, he said something that really changed my life. At that time I was thinking whether I should become a brahmachari or not. This was back in 2005. So all this confusion. And he said something very, very powerful. He said that, you know, Krishna puts several tests through the course of your life. And there is this one test that he's saying, you know, if you go through this door, then I'll give you all the empowerment, right? And everything will become successful, all right, right? And you know, we're walking close to the door, and just in front of the door, you know, just about to go through the door, and look at the door, and we say, you know what? I'm good here. I'm all right here. We don't make the effort to like stay through it. Right? And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying, how unfortunate. Because Krishna is just waiting to give, right, full empowerment. Right? It's just, come on, just a little more, right? And I'll give it to you. And somehow, you know, either through impatience or through loss of hope, disappointment, we quit. Or we decide to become just comfortable. You know what? This is good. My life is good. You know, no need to take on any more challenges. Right? So we want to coast. Right? We become lethargic. And we lose that chance of getting that full empowerment. Right? And it's very hard to really figure out what Krishna is doing here. Should I stay? Should I leave? Does Krishna want me to stay? Does Krishna want me to leave? Right? And in that situation, the only thing that we can do ultimately is actually pray. Krishna, tell me what you really want. And the answer doesn't come immediately. It seems Krishna is taking his own sweet time to tell us what is it that he really wants. Right? Because what he wants to see is complete dependence. Because otherwise, the actual endeavor, the ultimate potential of that project will fall short. Because that full surrender, our full surrender, is what Krishna ultimately wants. Right? So if anything is done before that, the whole thing doesn't reach its full potential. And it is hard for us to see, but Krishna sees it. Right. So C.S. Lewis likes to say, God is a very thorough surgeon. He doesn't leave any operation half finished. Right. So for us, and then C.S. Lewis also says, the only thing that we have to do from our side is cooperate with his desire. But it's so hard to do that. Because our own position, prestige, capacity, everything is at stake. And we also lose confidence. And so it's hard to stay in it until the end and reach a point where you say, Krishna, I'm just completely lost out of ideas. And even when we say that, sometimes the answer doesn't come. Krishna wants us to stay in that place for a long time. Until every ounce of our trust, our faith, our pride in our own abilities is completely taken out. Right? And he is not in a rush. He doesn't have anything to prove. Krishna doesn't have anything to prove. Right? Ultimately, his whole desire is the mission. And through the process of the mission, our purification and coming closer to him. And he does both of that in the most efficient way possible. Right? The inefficiencies get created because we don't cooperate. So sometimes when Krishna is patient, we become too impatient. And when Krishna wants to move things forward, we say, why? Krishna, let us take it a little easy. And, you know, I've done that in my own life. And what you do is you lose the opportunity to have really served at a time when the need was high. Right? And lose that opportunity, that window of full empowerment that Krishna wants to give. But then in Krishna's world, there is always a second chance. Gives you a second chance. The important thing is to learn the lesson and come into it with the mindset. In this case, also the same thing happens. Krishna is just watching the fight. Bhima and Jarasandha are fighting. This whole description at the end. And I just wanted to read that part of the purport here very quickly. At the end, there's this text 40. This is a commentary by the Acharyas talking about this episode. Thus, O king, they continued to fight for 27 days. At the end of each day's fighting, both lived at night as friends in Jarasandha's palace. Then on the 28th day, O king, Vrikodara Bhima told his maternal cousin, Madhava, I cannot defeat Jarasandha in battle. Right. So finally, Bhima is like, I don't know what to do. It's exactly the same situation that Arjuna was in before the Battle of Kurukshetra started, right? I'm confused. I just don't know what to do. Right? And that's the place where Krishna, okay, now I can give. Because empowerment, the gap between full empowerment comes when we lose complete proprietorship over our ability. We lose complete proprietorship over our ability. That is the time when full empowerment actually comes. And Krishna waits for that to happen. Because if he does anything before that, then you will never be the instrument that he really wants. He will never be the instrument that he really wants us to be. We will fall short. The result may come, but we will fall short of what we can truly be in Krishna's service. And ultimately, that's what Krishna wants. He wants us to be full-fledged instruments. So that when the glory does come, this is the amazing part, when the glory does come, we fully recognize that it doesn't belong to us. Otherwise, it's so easy to actually take, you know, we can become so dishonest in our expression. I mean, we can take the glory. Right? But ultimately, the glory goes back to the one who is truly glorious, and that's Krishna. Right? So everything comes full circle. You know, he uses us, makes the project complete, doesn't complete it until we fully surrender. And when we fully surrender, the empowerment comes, the project happens, and Krishna is glorified. We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, right? Timing was everything. If Prabhupada had come a little too early, or a little too late, the impact of how Krishna consciousness spread around the world would not have been the same. So Krishna is a master of timing. He gives it exactly at the time when everything can be maximized, maximum impact can be created. And ultimately, who was glorified through, of course, Prabhupada was glorified, but how many people actually know about Srila Prabhupada? That Krishna was glorified through Prabhupada. So Krishna works that way. You know, for us to be full instruments in his service, ultimately this kind of surrender is what is needed. And until that surrender happens, Krishna doesn't give everything. He withholds. He waits. And he's completely comfortable waiting. Until we come to a place where we say, okay, Krishna, please tell me how. I don't know. I have no idea. I like to quote C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, you know, humility is one such virtue where when you have humility, you cannot enjoy it. Because the moment you enjoy it, you lose it. Right? So when you have humility, only everybody, people around you and Krishna enjoys it, but you cannot. Right? But before humility comes humiliation. Right? So, because many times it seems that is the only way that true humility can actually come. Right? When we are completely made vulnerable, and sometimes it's even public display of that vulnerability, where every ounce of any self-image that we have to protect is destroyed. And in that process, then there is surrender. Right? And when that surrender happens, then the empowerment comes. And when the empowerment comes, there is no attachment to the consequence. Like, even if I am not glorified, I'm fine. If Krishna is glorified, I'm happy. And ultimately, that's what Krishna wants to see. Right? So, to me, that was what stood out. Was Krishna's patience. And Krishna is totally willing to be patient. You know, he could have rushed. He could have killed Jarasandha himself. He didn't. He could have told Bhima how to kill Jarasandha before time. He didn't. He chose to wait until Bhima, as Prabhuji mentioned, fully surrendered. And then came the result. So I'd like to stop here. Any reflections, questions, comments? Observation, yes,
Prabhupada. Thank you. Thank you for a wonderful class. I was just thinking you were giving a class exclusively on realization. Wonderful. Thank you very much. I wanted to know that definitely Krishna tests us for giving before giving any realization in our life. And he will test us till the fag end, till the time you don't become humble and don't surrender to him. And the most important thing at that juncture is you should have a very thorough patience. As Krishna is patient and Krishna wants us also to become patient, there should be some strength we should have from within to keep that patience completely intact and go on struggling for Krishna. Can you tell us what is that strength we can sustain, or that we can get it by which we can keep that patience consistently and go on waiting till the time that mercy or that result come? And what and how to hang on with that thing in our life, that we don't leave at any cost about that thing. Then only we can keep that patience thorough till the full end of, till that project or that thing that gets completed.
It's a tough question because I'm a very impatient person myself. I like for things to happen quickly, efficiently. I'll just share something that I've learned the hard way. And maybe if somebody else has any thoughts, please feel free to share as well. Patience is a very important part of character that I've seen. And building character is like building muscles, right? When you go to do the exercise to the gym to actually work out, right? It takes effort to build patience. And what I've seen many times is before full patience comes, you have to blow your fuse several times. You lose it several times, make mistakes, and then okay. And you also make mistakes where sometimes other people have to suffer the consequence of your impatience. And, but the key here is actually you have to take responsibility for it all. Say, okay, this is a lesson in patience. This is a lesson in patience. Right, so somehow patience is the quality that converts passion into goodness. I've seen. And when you learn how to be patient, the same passion, the desire to actually get something done, gets converted into goodness, where the same thing will be done, but it will be done in a way where at the end of it everything falls in place the right way. Relationships are not destroyed. But it takes, it takes that repeated effort. That's the only way building patience is a part of purifying us. Sometimes it just takes repeated effort. But the only thing I would say is stay in the fire. Sachinandan Maharaj gives this amazing example of the teacup. And it inspired me a lot. So you know how a teacup is made? So first is, the potter has to actually really mold the clay. It goes through a lot of rubbing and a lot of pushing and everything. And then second thing is it has to be molded into a specific shape. And that is also hard. We don't want to be molded in a specific shape. Hey, I want to be this. No, you're meant to be this. Right? And it's made into a specific shape. And then what happens? After that, it has to be baked. It has to be put in the, it has to be put in a very high temperature oven. Where now then it becomes hardened. Right? Sanchidanan Maharaj demonstrates this very graphically. In the middle, the potter takes it out and, you know, he taps it and sees the noise. How is the noise? Right? And meanwhile, the cup is saying, I'm fine now. You can start using me. And he says, not good enough. And he puts it back inside and raises the temperature a little more because it's not fully baked. Right? And the cup is just, I cannot. This is too hot. I cannot take this. Because the potter knows that the best quality cup has to go through all of this. So sometimes it takes for us mistakes, learning from them, learning to stay in the process. And the other thing is spending time with people who have learned patience. Patience is a very, very big virtue. And It's hard to be patient because we are insecure. We are very insecure. We want to see our own self-image that we have about who we are. We want that to be solidified, consecrated. We want other people to see that and say it. Right? So each time our self-image is not, our ego, our self-image is not appearing the way that we want it to appear, we lose our patience. Right? So it takes for us to over time become secure in the fact Krishna knows better than we do. And that only comes with time and association, the right kind of association. And sometimes when we take association also, devotees say things that make us more insecure sometimes. Somebody comes and shares result of, oh, I pushed hard and a lot of books went out. So I hear that and I say, maybe I should push a little harder. But what worked for somebody else may not work. Right? So we are completely confused. Okay, should I do this? Should I do that? A lot of prayer. That's the other thing that I've learned. Lot of prayer. I met Niranjan Maharaj in September. I asked him, what is one quality that if we have to develop in Krishna consciousness, we should really work for the rest of our life to develop? And he said, praying. And he said, the Bhagavatam is full of prayers. But somehow, you know, our culture, prayer is not emphasized as much. So, prayer is another way of building patience. To actually pray for it. So three things: that's the experience, association, and prayers. The little bit of realization that I have. Any other questions, comments?
Ayush Roji, very nice class from you. Thank you very much. From this pastime, we always see in each and everything, Krishna makes a situation very exciting. He will pull it until, you know, he will stretch it to large extent that it will give the greatest amount of pleasure to the devotees also. There's so much of excitement. There will be climax everywhere. So,
you know, it's true. It's very true. Some of the best, I shouldn't quote anything material, but I have been a big sports fan all my life. And some of the best matches that I remember, games that I remember, where at the end there is just this heightened sense of tension. Right? There is rasa there. Krishna experiences that rasa too. Like, you know, it manifests in the material world in a very perverted way. But that same tension exists. There is anxiety, there is heightened anxiety, excitement. Thank you. This question here, and Mataji had a question as well.
Does it always take a crisis to surrender?
As I said earlier, in the process of avoiding our necessary suffering, we create a lot of unnecessary suffering. And it's true. So what happens is the process of the ego dying is naturally painful because we are attached to things that are temporary. Right? When you take out two things that are stuck together, very, very strongly. And sometimes when you take it out, then, you know, it's part of the other thing just gets ripped. And that's hard. So same thing with the ego actually getting ripped. You know, there is pain that's involved. What we can do is actually make it easier. I asked the same question to His Holiness Radhanath Swami once. Do we have to go through pain? Because when you lead the lives of saints, you see at the end of it, there is always some degree of pain that's involved. And Maharaj said something very interesting. He said, no, we don't have to go through pain if we learn how to cooperate. So there will be some amount of pain, but as soon as we learn, okay, this is Krishna's desire, I just have to cooperate. So he said, not everybody has to go through it. He said, but if you have to be specifically empowered to do big things, then part of it is the willingness to carry the pain. So he said, so Maharaj was saying how, if you see people who have, so there have been a lot of saints, they all gone through the share of, their own share of suffering. But he said, if you look at the lives of people who have spread God consciousness in ways that are substantial, he said, they have always taken on more suffering than the rest of the living entities. So then Maharaj said, finally, the choice is yours. It's a very clever answer, not very direct, but that's true. It finally depends on us. Some amount of suffering will be there for our purification. And then the rest is, what does Krishna want from our life? And that's completely our choice. It's always our choice from start to finish. But part of it is for our liberation and the rest of it is for Krishna Seva. So we have to choose how to do it. Okay. Anything else? 2 minutes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. As you mentioned that Krishna waited till last moment to surrender, and same thing happened with Krishna, with Arjuna, same thing happened with Bhim, same thing happened with Draupadi. But when it will happen to us, what is the fastest way to come to that state?
that's the thing. There is no, I cannot design a faster process. See, the idea of devotional life and where Krishna wants to bring us is a mystery that will unravel as we keep walking. Right? We want to see many times, and that's a part of our problem. We want to see the goal before we actually embark on our journey. Krishna shows the goal, so Krishna shows the why and what. He never shows the how. So you'd say why you have to do it and what will happen when you do it. We read the Shastra and it becomes very clear. But how it is going to specifically manifest, a lot is hidden in the how. The how will only be revealed as we walk. Right? So many times we say, I've had enough of the why and how, what, I want the how right now. And until you tell me the how, I'm not going to embark on it. It doesn't happen that way. We have to step forward and it will not be revealed in one shot. As you keep walking, then, you know, it's almost like the road appears in front of you. As you take the first step, then you take several steps, and then at a certain time there is no road that is in front of you, then you have to wait. Right? It's like stop and go, and then suddenly then it appears again. Then. Right? So it's a process of patience, endurance, persistence, right? A lot of character building that happens through the course, because Krishna's plan for our life is broader than just liberation. He wants us to be an instrument. Right? So that's his ultimate, and to be an instrument means learning how to listen. And usually we say a lot more than we listen. So learning how to listen requires for us to develop that character to listen to Krishna speaks. So he's not going to reveal it immediately. That's what makes the process of devotional life mystical. Because otherwise the mystery will be taken away. Thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.